there instead of finally.
Well, they, yeah, they were, yeah. They're wonderful.
They'll be well worth it. Yes, I trust.
All right. Michelle, let me introduce you. All right, would you introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Michelle Schwengel-Vergala, and I'm a local artist. I didn't grow up here, but I've lived here for 13 years, and this is where I'm staying. I'm really happy to be part of the art community here.
What kind of art can you do?
I've always worked at the intersection of art and science. Science was my first interest in college, even before college, and it found its way into my college. Art has been a way that I can examine the world, the way I can depict things I'm seeing, get a better understanding of it, and then share that understanding and share those questions that develop through the observations with other people. So it's a way of asking questions, getting answers, looking into the great unknown. I'm so happy for this position where I am at Art and Science.
Mm-hmm. Actually, you're making me remember an incredible person who does baskets, based on mapping, basically.
Do you know her?
I'm not certain.
Northeastern U.S. You'd love it so much.
Mm.
Okay.
Is it someone that also has a Hawaii connection? I know that some folks had lived
she's
in
shown.
Maine.
Oh, yeah. No, I think she's shown in all of it, though. Oh, yep. Maybach. M-I-E-B-A-C-H.
That's her name?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Your latest project, your works during the artist in residence, what are they based on?
The work I've done at Box Jelly is an immediate response to the work that's up at the Box Jelly right now is an immediate response to another residency that I just did in Antarctica. I was at McMurdo Station for 7 weeks during the austral summer, so that's October to December, and it was the warmest time of the year.
I just don't want, you're talking about something totally unrelated to that, so
yeah,
I have
no motorcycles in
it. Yeah, I can't do that. And it's so interesting, so we've got to sit back here.
Oh. Will be back, and I'll close the front.
Oh, God. You know what? No, I don't want you to do that. It'll take so long. Let's just stand right here.
Okay.
Let's just stand right here. Just, yeah. Okay. There. Okay. So you were in Antarctica for 7 weeks.
Yes, that's right. It was part of the National Science Foundation's Antarctic Artists and Writers Program for artists and writers. It is a program that has been going for decades, and I'm so happy that the National Science Foundation sees fit to continue to do outreach through these other means of communication, not just supporting the science, the scientists, and the publications that they yield, but also to have artists and writers and performers and people using other cultural conversations to be able to talk about Antarctica and how the rest of the world can relate to it.
Well, what was it like there?
Oh, well, since I grew up in Wisconsin, I have to say there were some things that were quite similar. I used to go ice fishing when I was a kid, so I could relate to the use of an auger to dig a big hole in the ice to reach the water underneath. But everything was so extreme. The landscape was so vast and massive, and the color palette of the landscape was so limited. No trees, a very limited community, not even 1,000 people made up this community called McMurdo Station. But it ran so smoothly, it was almost utopian in a way for how smoothly things worked. But everyone was so driven. The people that were there as grantees to do their science had their very specific missions to do. And then the people who were the support staff of the community were also so driven to make everything work. So it was a well-oiled machine. I was very impressed by the way everything worked out there. And then the diving, that's another thing to do itself. The
scuba
water.
Scuba diving.
I was scuba diving under the water, that's right, under the 7 feet of ice. The water is 28.5 degrees Fahrenheit. So it's because of its salinity, it's below freezing. And we've done just ridiculous amounts of gear to be able to protect us from that extreme temperature. But that's the manner of diving in the ice, in the cold water. It all worked out. We didn't have any gear failures. We had 33 dives safely, and we were able to accomplish our mission, which was to see the marine life, see the marine environment under the ice.
Well, you didn't go down 33 times.
I did. Yes.
What does it look like?
You know, it's, in some ways, it's like diving anywhere. You know, you have your water column, you have your, if you're in an area that has land, then you have your substrate. You have creatures that are benthic, that are on the bottom. You have things that are midwater. You have things that are closer to the surface. But at the same time, the creatures that were there are so specialized. They're adapted to live in this extreme environment. And there are some things that are similar to what we have here, but they're different species within the same genus, maybe. So there are sponges that we have here that in Antarctica are enormous. The little things I've seen during my dives here, all of a sudden I see magnified a different species, but just at a completely different scale down there. So that was in keeping with the whole grandeur of Antarctica. Things got, some things got really, really big over there.
What did it look like?
Oh, I'd say the colors were maybe not as vivid as you think of sometimes in tropical diving situations. But at the same time, we had magenta, we had fluorescent yellow, we had purples, we had you know, the sea ice that was our ceiling in that water column had growth of plankton on the bottom, and then that became like stained glass mirror. So you had amber, and you had bright green, and you have all these colors all around you. So, and then the water clarity, that's another thing that's legendary about diving in Antarctica. The clarity of the water is like nothing you'll ever experience anywhere else. So that was quite a treat. It's going to be tough for me to resume diving here in Hawaii with how murky it can be in some areas here.
So what did you choose to make art about?
This first exhibit at Fish Cake and Box Jelly, I chose to focus on more of my emotional response to things. I wanted to show people the restrictive area that we had to go through, this column through the ice, to get into the water. So that's depicted at a life-size scale. And I want people to feel like you're underwater with me in this gallery space. I've created wire sculptures that depict some of the other elements of diving. And then you can follow these trails through the gallery space to see some other stations that have other features. I've done some drawings on a paper that is something that is often used by scientists out in the field. It's a waterproof paper, so this is my medium for these depictions. Metal point drawings are a fun thing that I'm doing on a regular basis now, something that was usually only done by people in the Renaissance times. You know, it fell out of favor once we had graphite, but I've brought that back, so I'm using lots of different metals to do drawings. And there are some other knitted objects in there as well.
Now, what's good about drawing with metal?
It's a challenge. I like having a connection to these older techniques. It's something that you cannot erase when you're making your marks. So I have to be very secure about what I'm drawing, but I also can just draw loosely and let go of the expectation that it has to be perfect. So it's put my own practice into a different mind space through this medium. It's also a way for me to do little experiments on a regular basis. If I see a piece of metal on the sidewalk now, I pick it up and I test it on that paper to see if it makes a mark, if it can become yet another art supply in my gallery.
Well, I think people who are, maybe they might have seen your work last at the Honolulu Biennial.
Mm-hmm. Yep, some of the work in here is related to the work I developed there. I'm doing knitting, but not on a typical scale that you might make a sweater. Instead, now I'm using wire, and I'm making each stitch quite enlarged. So that's another way that my technique is also suggesting that viewers take a magnified look at our world. And even though I'm not making very, very detailed pieces when I do this large-scale metal knitting, it's still a good challenge for me to work in different media. You know, in the past, as a science illustrator, I was always working in very tight projects on paper by hand, and then this is my foray into sculpture, into large-scale work and more abstract work, so I appreciate the opportunity to be able to explore this aspect of being an artist.
I think you would want to really immerse us in another world. Huh.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's definitely the mission for people to come through this space and to feel like they're in a colder environment, to feel like they're transported out of Hawaii and into a place that is a world away, but still relates to Hawaii. There are a number of National Science Foundation-funded scientists that work out of UH Manoa that I saw down there that are doing work that is things that I saw going on down there. So it's very exciting to know that there are people here that have connections down there. Losing my voice now.
Including you. Mm-hmm. Thanks so much. That was like perfect.
Oh my gosh,
that was
a lot.
Ideal. was great. It's so much, right?
You know what? It's I see what you're trying to do, and it works in my box jelly to a certain extent, but at some point you're probably going to have to take over a building or something.
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
inclement weather in here. I'm sorry.
Not at all.